Good day and welcome to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley, and today we're speaking with Karen Smythe about her debut novel, This Side of Sad, published in 2017 by Goose Lane Editions. Karen, welcome to Storylines.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's great to be here.
Karen, This Side of Sad tells the story of Maslin, a woman whose husband James has just met with a sudden and violent death, but no one really knows whether it was possibly self-inflicted or a tragic accident. But along with that storyline, we follow Maslin's very deep and personal inquiry into the significant choices she's made throughout her life, especially in relation to relationships, both romantic and also relationships with family members. So can you share with us why This Side of Sad was such an important novel for you to get out into the world?
Oh, that's a great question. The idea for the novel started with the notion that there was this couple and their marriage was perhaps uneven in terms of level of passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to explore what that kind of marriage could be like. My own marriage, by the way, is not the marriage in the book, which I had to clarify for a number of people close to me.
Everybody but wants to do that, eh?
Everybody wants to know, yeah, how autobiographical
yes,
it is. So yeah, autobiographical components for sure, but it started with that notion of exploring that kind of relationship. And then the way my process works is I start gathering observations and ideas and thoughts, memories, and I let it percolate. And gradually this idea about the marriage being ended suddenly,
mm-hmm.
And having the narrator have to explore it herself and think about what her marriage was composed of in terms of their type of relationship, their type of interaction, and her guilt over what perhaps had been going wrong in the marriage before her husband died.
Right.
She's handling her grief and all of this guilt and reflection on her own. But it does force her to confront a lot of parts of her past that she hadn't dealt with going along her life. So that's where all these layers of the past and her previous relationships started to open up, and I decided to make the novel sort of a multi-stranded novel, not just about that marriage, but about relationships in general, types of relationships, varieties of love, the kinds of connections we have with other people, and also with ourselves.
And that takes us into the style that you chose for this, Karen. You adopted a style that we follow sort of associative paths through
right.
Maslin's recollections. But you said it's not stream of consciousness because it's less spontaneous than that. Maslin is turning things over. She's considering things. She's conducting a self-examination. So as she's learning about herself and turning inward, she begins to view past events and people in a new light.
Yeah, the structure is integral to the storyline itself, and it's pretty much inseparable from what the novel's about. The way it works, as you said, is the associative kind of flow of stories scene by scene and episode to episode, because I wanted to get at how memory works,
mm-hmm.
in a way, in terms of how one thought leads to another one idea or memory of an idea or memory of an episode in our lives opens up a whole series of thoughts and reflections and memories that you don't expect or predict necessarily. And I wanted it to be kind of a mimic of, I wanted the narrative, I should say, to mimic the mind in motion. So as
uh-huh.
Maslin is delving into herself and peeling off layer after layer, and if it were a journal, she would just be writing in the present what is coming to mind. And also in the act of writing, of course, there'd be editing going on, even if it's a journal, even if it's written fairly spontaneously or freely, there's editing going on. And this is a thought novel. So this is Maslin And it can't be chronological because that's not how memory works either.
Yeah. Well, you gave us an interesting device at the start of the novel. You gave us a drawing of a spiral timeline that sort of is, it serves as a kind of map for readers.
Right.
And I'm interested in the story of how you came to use that device.
Oh, yeah, that was really interesting, too, in terms of process. At the very beginning, I, of course, kept timelines for myself. I had to keep track of all of these different events and people and years. It got very complex even for me, so I had to keep a pretty strict timeline with, you know, notes on exactly who met whom when and what event happened in what year, etc. And at the beginning, when I was submitting my manuscript, I had a timeline at the beginning of the novel, because I thought it is rather confusing for some people. It's not chronological. It's not a traditional way of depicting a story. So I thought readers, it might be helpful to readers to have a timeline to check on things. But the more I thought about it, the less appropriate a timeline seemed,
mm-hmm.
because it isn't that kind of a novel. It's not linear, and the actual linear timeline at the front of it just bothered me. So I created this draft spiral myself and submitted it to our book designer, and she loved the idea of it being more of a flow than a timeline. And then she created the kind of two-page spread of the spiral,
mm-hmm.
which made it a lot easier, I think, to find dates in the drawing itself. But it also represents more accurately that this is a novel where the character, the narrator, is going to be flowing through her memories and thoughts in a nonlinear way.
Yeah. Well, it gives you that sense of returning and returning to the past and trying to dig a bit deeper and understand a little more each time.
Yeah, I agree. It gives you a sense of that feel.
Yeah. One strand that runs through the book is the theme of the path not taken. And there's a very subtle and, it seems to me, a deliberate allusion to all those possibilities that are going to remain a mystery. So
yeah.
I'd like to ask you to expand on that. We're just going to break for a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you to share some of that thought process with our listeners. Listeners, you're listening to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. I'm Christine Cowley, and our guest this morning is author Karen Smythe. We'll be back in a moment to talk some more about This Side of Sad. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. Today we're speaking with author Karen Smythe about her debut novel, This Side of Sad. Karen, before the break, I mentioned that one of the themes that runs through this novel is the mysterious road not taken. And we sense this always kind of beating under the surface as Maslin ruminates on the events of her life and the choices she's made. And we know that there are hundreds or even thousands of alternate stories and possibilities that we'll never know about. So tell us about this allusion to the path not taken.
Sure. I think the theme is first planted in terms of the event that's told at the very beginning of the novel with the death of Maslin's husband. And she starts to reflect on the relationship in the recent past. Their marriage has been declining. And so it's natural for her to start thinking, well, what if I'd done things differently, said different things to him? If things had been done or said differently, would it have changed the outcome? Would he not have been where he was at the time? And then that leads naturally to her thinking about all of the previous relationships she had, the previous selves she had when she was in those relationships,
mm-hmm.
and how she, like all of us, told stories to herself about who she was and what those relationships were all about. So she's revisiting those stories and starting to understand they were stories.
Mm-hmm.
And she's getting a new perspective on how we build our relationships with ourselves and with other people, and how stories are a huge part of that. So the story, the past not taken, are untold stories. By following this theme through, I think eventually that theme becomes strengthened, and that becomes one of the overall underlying main points, I guess, of the novel, that there are all kinds of varieties of relationships and love, and there are limits on how much we can know about the other person, mm-hmm. the other people in our lives, and also the limits on how much we can know about ourselves.
Yeah. Now, I love the story of how you went back to your manuscript after working on it for a long time, and you felt there was something just not right about it. So you literally took a pair of scissors to it, which sounds incredibly brave. So can you describe what you did to the words on the page in order to make the storytelling work for you?
Yeah, it was a really drastic thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd written the first three chapters or so in a more traditional way. They did move around in time, but they were more of a traditional narrative structure. And I was starting to feel constrained by that structure. I wanted to get at how Maslin's mind was working in order to render her inner life. And the traditional way of having chapter follow chapter in a fairly ordinary way just wasn't doing it. It wasn't letting me get at the thought process. So I felt restricted, and I had thought about different genres and different ways of structuring the novel before I began. And I thought, you know, well, I could say it's a fictional memoir. I could maybe consider it an unwritten novel in her head, or I'm not sure, you know, so I experimented a little bit. And I thought, you know, the things I love about what I've written here in these three chapters are these really kind of key scenes or episodes that she dives really deeply into, and not so much all the connecting bits that you have to build into a more traditional
right.
narrative. So what I did was, as you said, I took the scissors and I started chopping out these sections that I really needed, I felt, in my story, in my novel, and basically broke the whole model and put these little bits of paper up on bulletin boards. And I ended up with about six or seven large boards on the wall with all, you know, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of pins holding these little pieces of paper up. And I started moving these scenes or episodes around on these boards to get the right feel for the flow of the narrative. And I eventually ended up with the way I ordered these scenes being a model that followed the way I imagined the way memory works. So the associations from one scene or episode, they're built in to the beginning of the next episode, whether it's a similar word that she has used to depict one scene, and then a variation on that word is picked up in the next scene and carries through, or if it's a person and there's a connection between the people in one scene or the next scene. So it was an attempt to try to mimic how your mind will go from one thought or memory to another based on some associative link in those two pieces, and at the same time trying to maintain storyline. So it was rather complicated, but it was the only way I could really integrate the three strands of storyline that I wanted to include in the novel in a way that let me get at that inner process of kind of truth-seeking
mm-hmm.
that Maslin is going through in her mind. So it kind of built this non-chronological, almost a musical kind of rhythm
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
ties everything together.
And, you know, taking that departure, I guess, from the traditional linear novel, you've got this is your first novel, but you've got a solid background in teaching literature at the University of Regina. You've written fiction and criticism for journals and magazines. You've been the fiction editor for Pottersfield Portfolio. But you said you had to actually leave academic life in order to write this novel. How do you think your academic background may have hindered your writing this novel?
Well, that's a great question. I left academic life quite a while ago, but I did move into kind of parallel stream of administrative, academic administrative type of executive roles. So while I was in those positions, your brain just uses different aspects of itself mm-hmm. to do certain functions, and the creativity that is required for writing anything fictional was really buried underneath all of the other tasks that my brain was having to do for many hours a day. So as an academic, you're looking at literature through a microscope, in a sense, and parsing it out and learning how it works and discovering things about it that you then share with your students. So it's kind of the opposite of writing, but clearly going through that kind of study, learn a lot about writing and how it works. It certainly blocked the creative flow for the time that I was in that world, but it also is a benefit in many ways because of the insights that I gained into other writers mm-hmm. and works of literature. But I need a distance from all of that knowledge and that experience in order to allow my own creativity, my own ideas for creation of narratives to take root and then kind of flourish, I suppose.
Now, you've mentioned that one of the writers that influenced you most was Virginia Woolf. And, you know, we think of the philosophy behind A Room of One's Own. And I've read that you have a writing shed, which was, you know, made me think immediately of A Room of One's Own. Tell us about your writing shed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm the kind of person that even if I have my own room in my home, I don't feel like I'm alone enough. And so I really do need my own space that is just mine, where it's a guarantee that I'm not going to be interrupted or have someone knock at the door or hear, you know, other sounds in the house mm-hmm. that could distract me. So I decided I would build a writer shed and have it insulated for winter. And I have little space heaters in my shed for winter. And that really became a key for me to be able to continue to write and sustain my energy and creative flow throughout the writing of the novel. So it feels like a privilege, and certainly was a gift I gave to myself, but one that I wouldn't give up for anything.
Now, you're working full-time on a second novel. Are there any teasers you can give us?
Well, it's going to be quite a different novel. It's not going to be the interior type of psychological novel that This Side of Sad is. And it's going to be set in a small rural town. And the theme, I suppose I could say at this point, is the impact of privilege. Bring that word up again, the impact of privilege on people and what is lost when people move into a position of privilege. And also the changes in the environment that one lives in when times change in the town. So this town is going to be evolving from an agricultural to more of an artisanal type of tourist-oriented town. So there are going to be lots of changes that have different impacts on different people.
It sounds like it could be a town in Muskoka.
Oh, really?
Wow, yeah. You know, there's such a shared history in Ontario. I think you could pick just about any small town in rural Ontario and you will find a huge web of similarities. So very interesting. Looking very forward to that novel. Karen, where can our listeners find out more about your work? Why don't you give us the URL for your website?
Sure. It's www.karensmythe, all spelled out together, .weebly, that's weebly.com. So karensmythe.weebly.com is my website. And I, on that site, I have a page for events, the different books that I've published and where you can get them. And it's available from Goose Lane, of course, on their website.
And of course, if people want to have you as a guest speaker, you were in Muskoka recently in October. Now, This Side of Sad has been listed on the Writers Trust book list for 2017. So I'm sure you're even more in demand. But you also have said that you're happy to either Skype or assist book clubs, and you've even gone as far as creating a guide for book clubs. How can people get hold of that guide?
Well, the guide is actually on my website. So
Super.
You can go directly to my website, and under the books tab, you'll see my page about This Side of Sad, and that's where the book club guide is. And any book club that's interested in ordering a set of books can do so through Goose Lane, and they give quite a generous discount to book clubs.
Good to know.
So I give that information as well on my website. And yeah, I'd be happy if a book club were interested in doing This Side of Sad. I'd be more than happy to make a trip, have a chat in person or over the internet even.
Wonderful. Karen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you, Christine. It's been a lot of fun.
Listeners, you've been listening to Storylines on the Bay 88.7 FM. And today we've been speaking with author Karen Smythe. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. You'll find Storylines in two new time slots, Saturday mornings at 8.05 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. We will keep on talking to authors and book folks about books and the writing life. Please join us again.